Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, one of the wildest Bristol races we have ever seen.
That was crazy. This is the craziest race I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, me too.
Just have to make it live. That's all we can do.
Making it live. Copy.
Absolutely insane.
Denny Hamlin wins a wild one in Bristol.
That it was. Very wild, bizarre, all sorts of words can call that race. But Denny Hamlin gets the dub. Couple experienced veterans take top three with MTJ and Keselowski taking the podium. Let's just get into it, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up, settle in, save your tires, because this is going to be a long, stacking pace.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Hey, friends, welcome to Stacking Pennies. I am driver number 7, Camaro, in the Cup Series, Quarter of the Joy. Joined by, I don't know if I agree with this, better looking co-host, Stacking
More
Pennies,
handsome.
Ryan Flores. More handsome,
I don't
is
know,
that what
that's
it is?
What I said.
That's fake news. That is fake news if I've ever heard something.
I left to interpretation.
I reckon it is. Ryan Flores, front tire changer of Ryan Blaney's pole sitting and defending champion. Ford Mustang Dark Horse.
Yeah,
how's it going?
Good. It was a blue collar day yesterday for all of us, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Let's just begin from the start. Start of the week. So had a fun week. Levi turned 4 on Monday. I got him a little electric go kart. So So he's on a big Spider-Man kick right now. Everything's Spider-Man. Spider-Man, Amazing Friends, on Netflix or whatever, wherever he watches it. Everything's Spider-Man. Spider-Man toothbrush. You name it, he's got the Spider-Man. So he gets the full costume, right, with the hood.
It was hilarious the mask. When he came out at his birthday party when he came out with that thing on. It was hilarious.
You know, I web you. He's going like, oh, yeah. I web you. And then you have to, like, stand like you got webbed. So the Spider-Man suit turned into his race suit. So anytime we come here to the shop, he has to put his race suit on, which is his Spider-Man suit. No clothes underneath of it, nothing. Just Spider-Man suit and
like
the mask.
Like his dad. Yep, you'll go bareback like under your fire
just
suit.
Like Tim Richmond would. So we go, so he, every time we go, he just does donuts. He just rips for legitimately 45 minutes straight until the battery dies. The only person that did more donuts this week than Levi in that go-kart was Kyle Busch.
Oh, gosh.
Kyle Busch was backwards more than he was forward. He did not have a good time. But Levi, on the contrary, had a blast. Spider-Man in a go-kart had me cracking up. He wore it at the racetrack.
Did he?
He come out of the motorhome with it, was directing traffic in the driver-owner lot with the Spider-Man suit.
So, in a world full of kids with iPads, your kid, I saw him this weekend, he had a yo-yo. So I was into that. I was like, hey, you got a yo-yo. He's like, yeah, watch this. And he just slung it at me.
Oh, he has no idea how to use a yo-yo. I loved doing yo-yos as a kid. So I got him a yo-yo. He just drags it.
Dangerous thing for a four-year-old because they just grab it by the – and it just becomes like a whip.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa. Okay. I was like dodging it.
It keeps you on your toes. So that was a fun week celebrating my little guy's 4th birthday. And then we get ready to rock. We look forward to Bristol, one of my favorite races, one of the favorite racetracks of the year. And, by the way, it's on concrete, not dirt. Was excited about that, excited to get there. We ran well in the top 10 the last race there until I spun out and busted my ass. So we go there, relatively the same. Little tweaks here and there, a little more camber, which ended up not being advantageous.
Dang it.
Yeah, we were like 4/10 more camber, all 4 tires. Wrong. In hindsight, wish we would have known the fire tire fall off, but nonetheless, we load up and we roll on up to the Smoky Mountains. So we get there and we practice, not good, loose, really edgy, not good. But it seems like that was a common theme. Talked to Harrison Burton after practice. He was top of the sheet and he goes, I felt like we were dead last. And then look at the pylon and he's first. What? I don't think there was a rhyme or reason.
So was there indication right then that there's going to be a tire issue?
We ran 37 laps in practice, and our right side tire wear was 98%.
Which is not a uncommon thing in a concrete
racetrack. We were in
group one.
Normally, you just plan on blasting those tires off because the track's fast, gripped up, locked down, and you're going to shred your tires. Not uncommon to see. Left side tire wear was virtually nothing. So the group B goes out. Carson was in that one, and his tire wear was also 90% after whatever it was, 30 laps.
Uh-oh.
We still didn't do a great job putting two and two together. We were still planning, as I'm sure everybody else was, as just the track's going to take some rubber. Let's adjust our car to run the top like it does every other race here. And the race played out significantly different.
Nobody did that.
No.
Because we...
You plan on running 500 qualifying laps.
We went there with the plan of doing four or five pit stops like we have...
Yeah.
The last couple times we've been there.
Taking two, getting track position.
Got there, said, Hassler, how's tire wear? He said, 10 laps, we're coming. So what? He said, if there's a caution at lap 10, we are coming and putting tires on. Everybody's coming.
So, yeah. We're on the front side of some track position in the last race there with the same tire. A little bit hotter, which is certainly a big hitter when it comes to how much tire application is onto the racetrack. So it was more rubber and more marbles, even in practice and qualifying, than we've ever seen.
So many marbles.
It was so edgy. A lot of guys, I was the first one to really show everybody how to do it, how to miss turn three on the loose side and end up in the – I thought I was going to knock the fence down. So I got loose, got up in, like, the lane two, and yeah. I started just I was going to cut it. So I just was trying to drag the brake down, and there was so much marble on the tires, the left front just locked right up, and I was like, Ooh, no. I thought I was gonna.
You hear the
fence.
Marble like,
tink. Oh yeah, dude, it's ice.
It's literally, the worst.
It's literally ice.
And you just like in that moment,
you have to do nothing.
You have
to off the brake, off the gas. Like, oh please God, just turn. So Denny Hamlin obviously had a tremendously balanced driving car because he was able to make short run speed. Where did he qualify? Third, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but
you guys were on the stop.
We were on the stop, and it was like lap one, because the plan was like we got a really good car. We're just going to go and lead every lap and win the race from pit stall one, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, right off the bat, he kind of, like, went in the three and missed it. Like, it just sheared and shook off the bottom. The four car got by us. We ran side by side with him for a while. And it was like, okay, we're going to be in good – like, we'll be in good shape. And we were – the 11 drove by both of us.
When you're running the top – you are just absolutely cheese grating your tires.
Well, yeah.
Nobody knew it yet.
So then the caution comes out, like, right, perfect time. Everybody pits. Some guys do right. Some guys do four.
I went freaking backwards. I got stuck on the top.
The 45 didn't pit.
Yeah.
And that changed a lot of the race for everybody because he ended up busting his ass.
Well, I don't even know what caution that felt like. It was like around lap 20 maybe. We went, got stuck in the top lane. Oh, no, Zane Smith. Well, hang on. Let's not talk about that clip yet. So I go freaking backwards. Start 18th, decent qualifying run.
From the drop of the green, you go backwards.
Just back, plowing right front. And then it just gets worse as the right front gets wear. And the bottom gets locked down. You don't get a hole, and you go literally back to 30th. I was like, damn it. All that decent qualifying effort now, just threw it away. Let's just reset and go again to try to free this thing up. Caution comes out. We put four on it, take a big stab at the rear window with some wedge, try to get it driving better, and then as you see here, the 45 stays out. It's first taker to try to get some track position, try to get some clean air, and try to maybe net out positive. Didn't work out for him.
Which I was like sitting there, I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
Right,
we'll see what everybody's – now we'll see what everybody's made of because there was a lot of right side.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, let's see what happens. And then he's
– backwards.
Damn, there ends up in our pit box.
Yep. The four didn't cut him. Zane, that's tough. Yeah. Tough start to the year for the 71 group.
For now, in Zane's defense, he can't see anything, so he's just trying not to run the guy in front of him. When you get on the apron, I would say there's probably no grip on the apron.
Meanwhile, the entire back of the half of the field spun out and smashed into each other because everybody checks real hard, and the accordion effect gets worse and worse. Right now, I'm looking out of the back, the spoiler of Carson's, and it was pow!
Smash.
Luckily, the 77 didn't incur any major damage. I knocked the toe out a little bit of my hot rod, but it wasn't too bad. We were still in the fight.
You didn't crush your snorkel at all?
I didn't crush my snorkel. Too bad. It might. That's how quick stuff happens there. Bristol, boom, boom.
The worst one in getting run in the back is when someone hooks a left and runs into your, like, right in your right front.
And sends you to the inside
fence.
Yeah,
that's like, the worst. That happened a couple times yesterday.
So then it's like, okay, this is going to be a long freaking day. Let's just buckle in and try to just chip away at it. We've been backwards. We've been forwards. We've been going to, let's just settle in here and try to get some laps.
The 71 wreck in there really affected our day because they were pitted
right behind
in pit
you.
Stall 2. So then we were in pit stall 1, and you, like, lose all the advantage because they're sitting there fixing their wrecked race car, and we're coming around them. Like, the one time they were on the right side, like, really far out. Blaney's like, I'm almost going to run that guy over. Like,
yeah, get out of the way, fella. So let
he said
so we got another.
Said it way different than that.
I'm sure Ryan Blaney is notoriously fiery on the radio.
Yeah.
But we have another clip here keyed up if you're watching on YouTube. If not, you should go check it out.
So you're the second guy that
well,
stays out.
Well, yes, I'm the second guy that stays out. Mind you, at the time, NASCAR hadn't released the other set of tires. It hasn't got to the point. This is right at the end of stage two, like 10 to go in stage two. We actually were like in an okay spot prior to this. We were like 17th. We're trying to get the balance close. We feel decently about it. I feel like I'm in a good spot to be able to save, conserve my tires. Since we spun out or got spun out or we got banged up there, we put a set, extra set of tires on it.
So you
got to
get one back.
So we had to get a set back at that moment, as well as the 77. The 77, I spun him out as well. So we both, to this point, before knowing we were going to get another set of tires, needed to make up a set.
So he's on the
he's on the bottom.
Okay.
I'm on the top. Chris Bell is behind me. And I knew I had to try to get a decent launch here because we probably had 40 laps on our tires at the moment.
That was
plow, 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 and finally got straight. But these guys are coming in a hurry. In hindsight, knowing what we know now sitting here on Monday with having an extra set of tires laying at the end of the race, a lot of guys took four here, then they put on rights after that. Is that what y'all did?
Put on scuffs here.
Put on scuffs.
But we sped.
Oh.
So, like, we put scuffs on, sped. We put scuff right sides on, sped. Yeah. And it's like, all right, just come back. We'll put the scuffs lefts on, too.
Yeah. Did you come back in the second time at the stage break?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
put more tires
again,
on?
Put more tires on.
So, we haven't talked about this yet in our comp meeting, but I think the play was, I don't even know who did it, but I think the play was to put four on it, 10 to go, then put rights on it with,
I think so,
it's
too.
A stage break. Then you can get some track position. Here's the thing.
Hassler actually said that on the radio, and he goes, I'm not going to get cute.
Yeah, that would have been the way. So we could never get to sidetrack from the strategy of having to make up a set of tires. We could never get to like that 9th to 15th range where you could just settle in and conserve your tires, because the rate at which you conserved running 4th was the same rate you had to conserve when you were running 30th. Right, you just couldn't you couldn't kill your tires running the top to try to get track position, because it would just literally cheese grate.
Yeah,
you had to run. It was weird because you're running at like 85% effort, like intention of the tire. You got to back your corner up a little bit, use a little less brake, load it into the banking a little bit less harsh to try to not really piss the right front tire off, and then you're trying to get the weight onto the left rear more on exit. I feel like I'm literally halfway through the run on at the end. I was like, I feel like this is what Jeff Bodine would feel like on Hoosiers in 1993. You know, like a little bit under the tire. You know, you have to conserve. You have some you got some guy on Goodyears, and some guys are on Hoosiers, and this guy's car's driving better. I was like, this must be what it feels like, old Bristol, because you had to use the bottom to help your stuff turn.
Yeah.
Our car was really, like, it fell off really hard.
Well, the least balanced that your car is, right, the worse it's going to fall off, because you're trying to keep pace and you're using more of it. Like, that you said something to me yesterday that made total sense. You said, well, yeah, the Toyota's any place we have to go to make mechanical grip,
they're always the
everybody.
Best.
And that showed again yesterday. Like, that. I feel like what was really freaking awesome was, like, the end of stage one into stage two, everybody was too wide. Like a speedway race on the same straightaway.
Yeah.
The whole field was.
Yeah. The pace was like 1750s.
And everybody was settled in, like, okay, we're going to ride here. And then, like,
some guys started to shoot the bottom, try to shove guys. Because
everybody figured it out after the 11 and the 8, they took off, and they spun out, like, right at the end of the stage. It was, like, the same lap.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, light switch.
It was a light switch. It was like when your tires had rubber on them, they have rubber on the entire tread one lap, and then there's the next lap, it's like one last little wipe of the rubber off, and then it's canvas, and then it's like, oh, Jesus.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
So we were running with them. We were like third to them. And then they lost their right rears. And Blaney's like, my right front's gone. And we lost some spots there too, but they spun out first. So it was like a game of who was going to bring the caution out.
Yeah.
Well, that was all fine, Danny. I think everybody was good with like running where they were until the 54 got a speeding penalty and ripped just completely through the field from like last to the first. Lead, you know? And then he didn't blow a tire first. Yeah. So everybody's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, how fast do you go?
Their stuff's hauling the mail and their tire's staying on. We're slower than them and yeah. We're blowing tires. So like, how's this all going to play out? So I think that was like a real turning point of the race. And seeing that, I think we have a clip of it, seeing the speed delta, like the speed differential of everybody was like super interesting.
Well, Tyler Green had he sent a GIF. And it was me, TJ Bell, me and Carson. And he sends the GIF of Talladega Nights where like he's in there at Rockingham and he's like, whoa, what are those? And they're passing.
Those the other cars?
Are those the other cars? That's literally what it felt like when you were on old tires. Because you know when it goes that long, somebody's going to be the sacrificial lamb. Somebody's going to spin out on purpose. Somebody's going to spin somebody out. And it's going to be a yellow. And if you're the first one to come down pit road, you're going to get hung three laps down. So we rode around for like seven laps on no right rear tire. Literally lifting at the flag stand, straight wheel, into the banking, because if you had any sort of bend in the tire, it was just, it literally had no rubber on it.
So that was the plan. Like, okay, so you look at the mission, right? Okay, the mission is make your stuff last until the caution.
Yeah.
Until the last run.
Yeah.
When they're like, no, we're not throwing a caution.
Yeah.
Like, kudos to
NASCAR. We've been critical about the hair trigger they have on the caution button. I applaud NASCAR for not pulling it.
That last green flag cycle.
It's like a demolition derby.
We were the first ones. We blew a right front. We were the first ones. I think we started the cycle. Come down, change our tire, get them back out, and then it just starts.
Yeah.
The cycle starts. And I walked in the, like, towards the end, middle of the cycle, I walked to the front of the pit box back from, like, cleaning up my stuff, my gun and all that, and it looked like the movie Fury. Like, it looked completely crazy. There was smoke. Yeah. There was, like, when the tire, there was rubber everywhere.
Everywhere.
We were in pit stall one, so, yeah, there's rubber everywhere. So, the ground is just, like, littered with stuff. There's smoke. There's the felt that's inside the tires. That's all flying in the air.
Yes.
Everybody's stuff's on fire on pit road. There's people working on their stuff.
That's how, like, it should be.
It looked like a scene out of a movie, like a war movie. And I was like, this is freaking awesome.
It was awesome.
And then.
I didn't know if it was awesome. I didn't know if it was dumb. I didn't know if it was absolutely terrific.
Same. I didn't know that either. And I was like, let's see how this all plays out. Till I looked at the big screen, and the 19 and 11 were racing each other for the win. And yep. I'm like, it's freaking awesome.
It's awesome.
Like, if they got stretched out and they were on different sides of the track or whatever, it'd been like, okay. But a green, like, I get there was only five cars on the lead lap, but to have those guys, like, the 19 gets by them in traffic, then the 11 gets back by them, they're pinning each other in the lap cars. It was
meanwhile
sick.
Not sliding around, trying not to save their tires, because you know the last run's going to be 35, 40 laps, which is just on the verge of when they blast it off. I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, from the driver's seat, like, what was that last run like for you?
It wasn't for our car wasn't as close as what I would like to be in hindsight, knowing how much tire fall off there was. So it was a bit of a struggle for us pretty much all weekend. You know, I think shoulda, coulda, woulda, if we played it a bit different, we could have ran 14th to 18th, but finished 21st. It was like the snowball derby in a way, where if you could go a bit hard. You can go on the back end, you could save it. But I think if we went back, I think a couple different people have said, if we went back tomorrow and you gave the engineers overnight to just build some compliance in their cars to get some tire longevity, you legitimately go back, and then those tires are going to last 75 laps, 80 laps.
And that's perfect.
And that's perfect. So I don't. Let's not make a knee-jerk reaction. I love the fact that we have some tires that degrade to nothing. This is what we've been asking for. So we might have swung the pendulum a little bit too far, but not too much. Let's take the same. Let's take that theory, and let's go to Richmond. Let's go to some other places. But there's so many variables.
It's not Richmond's not concrete, right?
So many no vertical load in the car. You're not shredding the tire. There's way too many variables for you to say, oh, let's bring the same tire back and expect the same result. That's not what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree. If you give these guys a night to work on their car, it would be better. The two things that were tough. We didn't have enough tires, right? If we had three more sets, it probably would have taken the panic off of pit road. The second thing,
but we left a set laying.
Yeah, we did, but we left a set laying that we got. So you don't ever want to have no sets on pit road, because like it would be a really bad look if somebody got a flat and they didn't have any tires left, so they were out of the race. Like that'd be a bad look for everybody. So you need to have
emergency,
like, if you
set.
Get a puncture and you don't have anything laying, you're in bad shape. The second thing is a gift and a curse, is the surprise of it all, right?
Yeah.
Everybody was caught off guard, which is the gift of this whole thing. Because the smartest people I know work at these race teams.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not caught off guard, their job is to
not
make the race boring, right? Yeah. They want to go out and lead every lap. So because they're so smart and they can adjust so quickly, that's where, you know, it kind of falls into like a systematic race where this is how it works each week. Mm-hmm. And it gets, I would say, maybe this might be a harsh word for it, but like, for lack of a better term, a little stale.
Yeah.
So when something like this happens, it's like, this is crazy, because they need to be caught off guard.
Well, when you combine surprising variables with arguably the best pit crew on pit road right now, one of the best crew chiefs on top of the box, and one of the highest IQ drivers in Denny Hamlin in that 11 team, and the 19 team. Those guys are essentially bowl champions, right? Those guys find themselves racing for the win. It's not surprising those are the teams that emerge out of the top, right?
That's why the Denny Hamlin with no championships argument is such a hot topic every year, because like, he is so good.
Yeah, he's one
his
of the
team
best
is so good, right? Yeah. Like, it, him to not have a championship, that's why it's such a story. I know everybody's like sick of hearing it, but when you see races like they had yesterday, where it takes like every single thing.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin's top eight guy to ever do it.
And that's why that's a huge argument.
I liked what Chris Gayle said after the race to Weaver. You know, he just said, you know, everybody was going crazy. The tire specialist, obviously Denny the spotter, crew chief, everybody was so busy. But the people that were most busy, they were busier than the damn one-legged fellow in an ass-kicking contest was the Goodyear guys
mounting
those tires up.
Dude, that proverbial dogs of the week for them. I mean,
yes.
You go, hey, we got to mount
160 tires.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Get them balanced.
Oh yeah,
too.
The next stop's here in about 40 laps too. So get after it.
Yeah, that was that's what Mule the tire guy. The tire guys on the race team are the hardest working guys at the racetrack. Mm. The Goodyear guys rival that. Like
them boys are working.
They are working. They're mounting everything. Those tires just don't get mounted and end up on the car by accident.
Nope.
There's a lot of work that goes into it. So kudos to those guys. I heard you even asked, could you put left sides on the right?
I was trying to pull a page out of the old Dale Jr. playbook when he won the Winston. Remember that's
what he did?
Yeah, that's what got him outlawed. You can go fact check me, but rumor is That thing had four left side tires all the way around.
And they're softer.
They are softer.
Would that have, was Stagger too far off? Like, would you have been able to do that?
I don't know. Spark said we would have plowed. I don't know. But I'm just saying, hypothetically, if we put right side tires on it twice and you've got four left sitting there on the pit box, put them on.
Well, if you
got
to finish the race, right?
Yeah, they're round and black.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It's better than a flat one.
Better than one that has canvas on it.
Yeah, dang right.
So I don't know. I was correct. Apparently can't do that. But is there somebody watching for that?
I mean, I don't know. But I think that somebody somewhere would find out and know.
Yeah.
Like it's some like the NASCAR garage polices itself.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
People next to you would rat you out if there wasn't somebody standing there watching. I mean, hell, they're on us about SFI gloves right now. They're on everything right now. So
especially if those fingers are sewn together.
Oh, yeah. You're just going to not let that one die.
No.
Another interesting stat, the three oldest guys in the field are the top three this weekend.
The old grizzled veteran.
But guys that had, have had to save tires. And I look at this, like you said, like the Snowball Derby. Like any smart tour race I've watched this year, like if you go to Florence with a modified, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. The whole field is really strung together.
It's a game. How hard do you go? How soon?
And then it's like comers and goers. And the horsepower talk has been
loud,
hot and heavy, but just a little sprinkle. Denny Hamlin said on his podcast,
he said
he learned at a Texas tire test one time that there is, it's just chemistry, right? Rubber's chemistry. And they said that there is a chemical that they can put into that mixture that just increases tire wear. He thought that they spilt it in there, but
I heard he said they peed in it. After qualifying.
Yeah, well, I think he meant that as like a, like, just like a saying, but people took it like literally.
Like some guys in the batch, like, I got something special for him this week.
I think he meant it like somebody pissing their cornflakes, you know?
I don't think so. Maybe he thought urine was a good ingredient.
But, hey, that might be the
key. That might be the ticket.
But, yeah, so like, but like I said, we put that set on and it wore out too. So.
Well, hey, we've been asking for it. And by God, we got it.
We got it.
And I thought the elements of it, majority of it, was pretty damn cool to watch.
The good thing is, so like when you're in the race and you get to the airplane, it's like, oh man, let me open the phone and see what the reaction is. Because so many times in racers, they ask for something, then they get it, and it didn't go their way, and they're like, well, that was stupid.
Yeah.
And Jeff Burton was actually sitting in front of me on the plane, and he's a big part of the driver advisory council.
He's ahead of it.
And he was like, he's ahead of it. So he's a really big part of it.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I hope they don't bash NASCAR. Like, and he said, he turned around and said, everything I'm seeing is like 99% positive.
Love that.
And then like you start looking at what the fans said. You start looking at what I think a big voice for the sports, Dale Jr. Start looking at what Dale Jr. said, and it's like everything's positive. There's a couple tweaks we can make to make it better, but
I love it.
If the people in the grandstands and the people watching on TV are happy and they like it, what we think on pit road does not matter because we're getting paid to be there.
That's right.
We're there to entertain and race and figure it out as we go. And I thought yesterday showed that there's one team that figured it out.
Yep.
And it was a damn good race.
I love it. It wasn't our best day at the racetrack. We had a little higher expectations and hopes, but nonetheless, after all the stuff we had to overcome, P21.
Wasn't your worst day. Wasn't our best day. Wasn't our worst day, too.
Yep. Yeah, some guys had worse. Some guys had better. But I like there's a lot of positives to draw from. Kudos. I think people want to sit there in the magnifying glasses on Goodyear. When's the last time they've interviewed the fella from Goodyear?
I don't know. It kind of seemed like he was – did you watch it?
No.
It sounded like he was, like, kind of apologetic. But
no,
like,
sir.
So get back on there and say, yeah.
Yeah.
All you guys asked for, you got it. Don't at me.
Now read it and weep.
Dude, it was great. And I don't know, like, is anybody kind of – changing lanes here, is anybody going to beat a Toyota at a short track this year?
No.
Because even the Coliseum they won.
Them Orcas Phoenix, are strong, bro.
You contain them in a small area.
They're going to bust out.
I don't know. They're hauling the mail. So the question of the week, new segment here. New segment for you.
What?
Denny's 52nd win. He wants to get 60. Can he get to 60 this year? You think he can get 8 more?
No.
Be tough.
That would be a strong. Nobody's seen double digits with the next gen car.
He's got 2. One doesn't count towards that number, but he's got 2 this year already.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if any team can do it, it's him and that 11 team. That they are so strong on pit road. They are so strong on the box, and obviously Denny's locked in right now.
Gabe Hart. Yeah. On the box, like
so that would be 9, right? He would have to get 9 total this year to get to 60.
9 total, yeah. 8 more. That's a lot of wins. But, I mean, nobody's
Willie B got 6 last year?
6, yeah. Nobody's done it in the next-gen car, but Kyle Larson did it a couple years ago. He got 10.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. We'll see.
I mean, he's been in contention every week.
I'm going to ask this question.
I'm going to say I'll take the under on that. I think he goes 5.
I'd agree.
5 or 6.
I'd agree with that, but Let's go with the question that is always going to be asked.
What's the question?
Is it Denny Hamlin's year?
Oh, I don't even want to talk about that.
Come on, man. Everybody wants to talk about that.
What's he have to say about it?
I don't know. I mean, I know this. One thing I know about racing, you want to win races, but you don't want to peak at Spring Bristol.
Man. You say peaking. It's like your entire season when you're at the 11 level, the 11s level, it comes down to 3 races. Comes down to executing it at Martinsville. Comes down to executing wherever the other, what, Kansas?
Yes and no, because
they're going to have enough playoff points to get them all the way to the round of 8, right? And you have to execute, block and tackle for 3, and prepare for Phoenix for a month.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Like, I think one thing that's kind of hurt them over the years is, like, they've found themselves with, like, penalties, right? Points, penalties, whether he's wrecking Ross and distractions like that. That's the type of stuff that puts – it's not super detrimental, but it's just puts chinks in the armor of a championship.
I think we put too much weight onto that. Like, if your team is a championship-contending team, there are, call it 6 of those, 8 of those. You're going to have 2 of those guys that have enough playoff points to get them there. And then you're really – after Martinsville, your season's 4 days long.
That's it.
How do you prepare? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. How do you clear all the distraction? How do you clear the noise?
Yeah.
And go approach the weekend.
Yep.
I mean, there are teams, talking about Phoenix in particular, in the last race of the year, there was teams that had multiple cars in the championship 4, and they had a driver in the simulator through practice live time running all the changes all the way through, pretty much did a graveyard shift all the way through the night to run changes. To get them before qualifying.
Wow.
So it's how strong is your war room, how strong is your driver feedback in the simulator. That's your championship nowadays is in 1 week. Now, your season gets you there, right? But there's championship anymore. I think we start putting too much weight what happens in March or April.
Yeah.
Into the outcome at Phoenix, I don't think that applies.
I'm with you. I just want to – we can – I asked the question, but I go back to
Denny's
just
be
appreciate what's going on right now.
He's going to be in. Yeah. Hey, let's appreciate the tire fall off. Thank God we have a little bit of that. It's like now, but now that's a new level, new devil where you get a tire that wears out and people might want multiple grooves. Well, now there's marbles up there, so you can't get up there and dust it off. Right. So you can't really have one without the other.
I liked it not having multiple grooves. Like
You had to be precise. You couldn't – I don't know, man. Sometimes I thought the sweeper just made it even worse.
Well, here's a great point, right? Okay, we want multiple grooves for what? To promote what?
I don't know.
Passing?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We had
– 56 lead changes?
The most lead changes of any short track ever. So, like, oh, okay, maybe we missed the mark there. So, multiple grooves just make it multiple grooves, to me, make it to where you can't pass. Because if your car doesn't work on the bottom, you can move up and make time or slide yourself and blow the air across each other.
Right.
Like, I don't know if on single groove racetracks, especially at this level, or even here, it wasn't single groove racetrack. You could run a lane up and pinch the guy down.
Yeah.
But you were actually racing. It looked like what we grew up watching Bristol to be.
So, quick story. I went out to the fan zone, signed some autographs in the merch trailer, and they had like a race from 1995 on TV, right? The cars are moving around up and down, boom, 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 in the corner, right? Big heaves, smashing into each other, and just like no cautions, just smash. I was like, and if I didn't watch that in the morning, I'd have probably not approached like the race like, oh, this isn't good. But I literally watched the race from 1995 and thought to myself about halfway through, I'm like, this is legitimately 1995 with cars that are just about 4 inches, 5 inches lower to the ground.
Now, the cars don't move up and down like they used to, but they were, I mean, this weekend they were noticeably like, you'd see them get out of shape and lose a ton of lose a ton of momentum, and it was just, yeah, man, I don't know. I'm like refreshed. That crisp mountain air, some tire wear, nothing better.
Keep it moving. I also saw you get a little TV time.
Yeah, to let everybody know.
What? Some fake news?
Time for us, Manasquan, New Jersey, front tire changer, defending Cup Series champion, and more handsome host of the Stack and Pennies podcast.
Mm-hmm. So, I just said in the first take, defending Cup Series tire changer, cut it off. Yeah, and Jamie Little was like, gonna need a little more than that. She's like, give me something, like, and I don't want to be
the guy.
What
were they doing? What were they doing, like a special on the pit crew or something?
They highlight the pick. They highlight one pit crew every week.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I think they did the 24 and after Daytona 500. They did the 99 after they won Atlanta. They did the 20 car last week, and then they did us this week. So they kind of have, like, a list of stats. Like Jamie Little is awesome.
Yeah.
And she does her homework. So she came with an iPad, like, here's the races you've won. Like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, I really don't want to, like, list, like, Daytona 500, this many Xfinity championships. Like, I didn't want to. So
flex,
she's like.
You don't want to flex like that?
I don't know.
Why not?
Because I'm not like that.
You flex.
I'm not like.
You're good. It's your job, man. You can flex like this.
I'm not going to. No. I'm not going to be like, I got 18 rings in my safe.
No, you got 3 in your pocket right now. I see them.
No, I just keep that Daytona 500 with me in case I got to check you. So she's like, oh, say something about stacking pennies. And I'm like, oh, it'd be a good plug. But, like, man, I'll really get roasted by it. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in a locker room, but I'll really get roasted by these guys in the gym. And she's like, well, just do it one time. So I did that. And I was like, well, I don't want to say, like, anything bad, but I'll say something funny. So that's what I said. And now people can put the face with the name.
It's fair. You did look good.
People say I got a face for podcasting.
That's true. I got a face for radio myself.
Yeah.
That's, what else is there?
There, I mean, I think you covered a lot of it. And, taking us around the track in the seat is – it just, like, it's refreshing that the drivers that even didn't have a great day can notice the greater good of the sport, right? Like, I think it's the first time that everybody has a sport that it has hit the fan bad.
Poop?
The poop. Don't want Sean to have to bleep it out. But it has hit the fan, and everybody collectively was like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, this is stupid. Yeah, need to get a tire. Like,
yeah.
Nope. It's okay.
Yeah.
Forward.
I wonder why that is. I wonder what that sentiment is. I think because we haven't really seen a next-gen tire degrade like that. So that was a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, okay, we're at least we found the spectrum of really hard to really soft.
I was almost mad during the race because I was like, I know these SOBs are going to be like, well, yeah, we want a tire fall off, but not that much. Like, no, you don't get the pick. Okay?
Yeah, and there's also the balance, right? Of like, you know, Bristol, you can manage. It's got the bank, so when you feel a tire going down, you can kind of manage. You can even choose to ride it out if you wish, or you can choose to pit. You have one go down at Kansas at 185 miles an hour. The outcome is
1,000%. I said that last night. If this happens at Texas, it's a bad deal.
Yeah.
That's you're going into concussion protocol at that point. But
But
to say that, our mile and a half package program is second to none.
It's great.
It's some of the best racing in the world. And everybody as an industry knows that our short track stuff has to get better. Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's absolute chaos. If you don't like that, go watch Max Verstappen win by 30 seconds and don't call me again.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with
that's
it.
That's what but it is.
The action wasn't only crazy on the track, it was crazy on pit road as too, buddy.
Ooh. Pit road boats and woes, ladies and gentlemen, coming up right after this.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, friends, we are back with some Pit Road Boats and Woes. We had a ton of woes.
A ton of fast pit stops. 16. So 8 second pit stops this weekend.
16?
16. Dude, people were hauling the mail at Bristol. Why? Just the cars are higher, so the wheel openings are bigger, so you can really let it eat.
Let
them dogs eat. That's why we saw a lot more penalties. People rolling their tires. We saw a bunch of interference equipment, people rolling tires all over the place.
Just trying to get it. Somebody rung the bell.
Them dogs, man.
They rung the bell.
Stinking up the show.
Yeah, it's three some big old dog turds on the field.
Jeez, 3 weeks in a row. The 11 car.
Quick time.
Sets a new fast pit stop of the year. 8.59 seconds. I was
broadcast at 8.3.
Yeah, well, listen. Blake Houston after the race, he's on the 20 car. He's like, what kind of time did you get? What'd you get? We did an 8.4. I said, well, NASCAR time said 8.6. Well, why don't you go back and time it? I said, hey, man. We're using NASCAR time.
That's what it is. That's what it's got to be.
Well, you should go back and time it. I said, hey, man, if you want to use your times, get your own podcast. We're using NASCAR times on this one. Sorry.
Yep, that's all I got.
So, hey.
There has to be a standard.
That's it. That's standard. Our standard. Because they'll be like, yeah, I'm sure there'll be posts this week. Gibbs's times are usually like 2/10 faster than what like NASCAR's is, which everybody times it their own way. NASCAR uses the SMT, like accelerometers in the car.
I feel like that's pretty high tech.
It's high tech, but like Gibbs uses a stopwatch. So like when the kind of the eye, and then they
feel send like they
it.
Stopped using those in like the 90s.
Well, they also Gibbs, and there's a bunch of teams that use a company called Asphalt Analytics. I think it's like a Serbian based company where they time everything and break it down. But
if it's not American, I don't want it.
If you want that, go to the Gibbs Instagram. Here at Stack and Pennies, we'll use the NASCAR time. No matter what the time is, the 11 was the fastest.
It ain't from Serbia. It's from the United States of America.
This is American timing. but, yes, the 11 team, 8.59 seconds. They did have a little bit of a chink in armor this week. They had one where they had to rejack the car. I think it might have been – it was a longer stop. It was a double digit. I think it was maybe even in the teens. But – when you are running times as fast as they are, you are on the edge. And they consistently are able to, like, where their darts land are just closer and closer to that 8-second bullseye every time. And 9 cars showed a lot of speed. The 14 team showed a lot of speed. It was a hell of a day on pit road. Kudos to the 11 cars. Berkey, Brian Holland over there. Brian Holland.
Dog.
One of the best pit coaches in all racing. He was my pit coach on the 22 Xfinity car when we won all those championships. The biggest thing he always drilled in our heads was exchanges, 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 exchanges from the time the tire comes off till it goes on. And you can tell that 11 team and everybody, even all the Gibbs cars, have been working on that. It's tidy, it's clean, and
it's tidy.
That's why they first time in history, three time dogs a week.
Wow, that's unprecedented.
That's a hat trick.
That is a hat trick for the dogs.
Good for them.
That's a big honor.
It is. There was a lot, but
unprecedented. There was some contrary. As much as the 11 team's been some dogs, there have been some absolute dumpster fires on pit road.
Oh boy.
That of which is the 8 team. It's something every week.
Oh man, I don't want to go there on it. But they are
I just watched
woes.
The tape. And when I think of a dumpster fire pit stop, I watch this one right here.
I'll tell you this.
There's a fella on the hood.
That is a
dumpster fire pit stop.
That is a calculated move. And the first time we saw
that he wants to be a hood ornament?
That he's going to get on the hood. He did that on purpose, and it was the 1,000% right thing to do.
Team guy.
So they had an issue. They had an issue a couple weeks ago, if you remember, where they didn't get a left front lug nut on it.
Yeah.
And the car left the pit stall without it. Back up.
That guy's a dog for doing that.
He's an absolute dog. Those guys went back to the pit practice area, and they said, listen, new protocol. If there is no lug nut on the left front, that car is not you. If either
you
that,
have to drag.
If that car's leaving without a left front nut, so you're going with it.
Yeah.
Right? And that is 1,000% what they did. And it's the right move because he backed up, put a tire on it, kept going. I think it was a green flag stop, which really kills you at Bristol.
Yeah.
But like those guys on that car, there's a lot of new guys. And there's about 8 to 10 cars on pit road that are the hardest to pit, that are always in the spotlight, mm-hmm. that are the best drivers. The 8 car is at
close
the top of that heap.
Yeah.
So for those young guys to be learning, it's trial by fire. And they've had a couple issues, but there's no tire changers or anybody out there for Ray Wright to go get, right? He's got to dance with the guys that he brought. He's got to dance with his date.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to go get somebody right now and plug him into that unless you make a trade with a team or where you're
that
at.
That gets expensive.
So I'm pulling for those guys to dig themselves out of it.
I can't believe that guy just jumped on the hood.
That's a dude. If you watched, I think the first one to do it was the first year of the next gen car, Shippy, who's now the Josh Shiplett. He is the pit coach at 2311 now. They had a couple issues. Was it with the 45 or the 23? One of them. And they started doing it because they're like, they sent a car out without a left side lug nut on it and get suspended. Then it was mm-hmm. 4 weeks, crew mm-hmm. chief and everybody. Now they said they went back to the shop just like that. Shippy was the first one to do it. I think it was a Kansas. He jumped right on the hood. So if you're a driver and you're leaving, you're not paying attention to much. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
But if there's somebody on your hood, you're gonna know something's wrong. So that's the play. That's not by accident that he did that. That was a calculated play that they had talked about, and he said, "Hey, if this car go back to Brian Holland, he used to tell the gasman this. If that gas can's going down pit road, you better be freaking attached to it." And the same thing, if it's going out without a lug nut, you better be on top of that car and going with it.
Yep. So we have two left front issues.
The 54,
Jackson,
he did the same thing.
Yeah.
There was a point in the race, we'll get the video up here on YouTube later, I'll send it over to him. There was a point in the race where he left the pit box with the car getting the left front tight on it. And it's probably what messed their threads up. Mm. So you see Braxton Brandon here pull the nut back off, and he just switches nuts. Remember we talked about this last week where when the threads get messed up, you can just switch the nut out, and sometimes it fixes it.
Yeah.
So he goes on, realizes there's a problem. Everybody looks. They realize there's a problem. He just swaps out. Yeah. One thing.
She ain't coming off.
One thing I want to touch on here. So the pins get, we talked about that last week. He switches it on the pins. They take the nut off. If we pause it right here, what are the arts and crafts he's got going on in his socket, dude? What is it? Is a line not good enough?
No.
It looks like a tribal tattoo.
It does look like a tribal tattoo. It looks like something The Rock has on his forearm.
Jackson Gibbs, young kid. Maybe he was an art major at App State. Not sure. But a lot of design there. Me, old guy, 36, just a red line.
It's just fine.
Here's a line, man. It's tight. There's a lot going on there.
Maybe he likes it.
Hey, I'm not.
While you're eating, eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for the race, he's sitting there coloring his socket.
I got no socket swag. I'm a plain Jane, straight line socket guy.
Maybe you need to, get some swag on your socket.
I don't know if I'm cool enough. We go to the 5 car here. This is a penalty that was kind of called on a lot of people, and this is the worst possible scenario. So, 15's coming around you a little late. You're pulling the right front, right?
Normally, that's a decent roll, right? Gets a little wobbly, but right legal. into the rear change of the car in front.
It's a legal roll if there's nobody in the stall behind you. If they're not pitting, it's a legal roll.
Yeah.
You're allowed to use half of the other pit box to roll your tire back.
If there's a felon on it.
Unless you impede somebody's pit stop.
Yeah.
They impeded their pit stop.
The 15, no less. They had a great day. Rick Ware Racing, shout out to those fellas. Those guys were in the top 10.
Tommy Baldwin, Jerry Kelly, Robbie Benton. Good for those guys pulling the rope in the same direction. But that right there with the 5 car being a front tire changer, that's what keeps me up at night. Because there's a lot of speed there. You're judged as a front tire changer. You're judged from the time the car stops to the time the tire is out of your hand. Stop to release. That's we put a lot of weight on that time. So the faster you get rid of that tire, faster your right side is. I mean, we're talking tenths of a second.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't, in that situation, you got to have a little bit more awareness to be like, okay, the 15 is going to be jumping right when I'm rolling this tire. I have to keep it in my box. Fortunately, it gets 3 foot wide, and he rallied back to like a top. Definitely, he was a single digit finish.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was sixth or fifth, but they had a race winning car. It seemed like.
Yeah,
and you just have to use your stuff up to get back. But that's what we talk about at Bristol. It's tight. There's no room to do that stuff. There's really no openings on pit road unless you qualify in the top five. You're really not getting an opening. So tough. There's a couple teams that had that same problem. There's a couple teams that had that same issue. It's so tight that the 22 team on one pit stop, they lost a bunch of spots because the 99's rear hose thrower threw the hose over Jake, the rear changer's neck. And it got stuck on, they like lassoed him.
Oh,
and
no.
It got stuck on him. And they didn't get a penalty because
it's not too tall.
It could have been too tall.
I think it was. I think
too tall's on the one call.
What about Petrie?
It might have been that. Son of a gun, Tony Barkman.
I think it was.
It could have been. But yeah, that's how tight.
Then what about this fella? Mike Dusky.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh no.
So
AJ comes in under yellow, and just drives her plumb straight into the box. Smash it, dents the pit box.
Dude, he hit the tire.
Yeah. Like cold trickle.
Then they don't really know, like,
why is it stuck?
I think everybody's just flabbergasted at this point. They're like, what in the world? So
are we pitting it? Are we not going to pit it? What do we do? We just killed somebody behind the wall. What happened?
There is a reason that
just
this
get
happened.
Out of here.
It happened to us too. We almost slid through our pit box twice.
Yeah, they're trying marbles.
So I said to Hassler, I said, why are we doing this? Why, like, do we need to spray something more? And he said, we need to get the sweeper truck because that sweeper truck had to be full.
For sure.
There were so many marbles. They had to dump that thing out. Like, when you're using your vacuum at home and it just gets full,
yeah,
they could have taken they should take all the marbles yesterday and go to every playground in Tennessee where they put the little
mulch
tire and just do they have enough to go around. But there was a line thick. I mean, it was probably an inch thick of rubber that you run on the outside line when you're coming down pit road. Then when you turn into your box, that groove, because everybody would, after the pit stop, blow their pit box off out into pit road.
Right.
And there was just a thick car with like lane wide
of marbles,
of like bad thick marbles and dust and dirt. So when you would come to your pit road, you would come out of that clean stuff through those marbles,
and
pick them all up
slide.
On your tires and just slide. And that's what happened to him. And it happened to a lot of guys. It happened to us, even in pit stall one. But they're very lucky nobody got hurt here. They were really close. I hope the gas man's okay. And then the other thing, at racetracks where, so like you're allowed to have your tire on the wall here, but at racetracks where there's no wall, like Charlotte, where there's no inside wall, you're not allowed to set anything on the pit wall during the run. And that is why.
Man.
That is what hurts people. The car you're going to get it out of the way of.
Yeah.
But when
a
there's
tire
a gun,
launched into you.
Yeah. Gun or a jack or a tire getting launched. That's what's going to hurt somebody.
Oh, boy.
Thank God all those guys made it out and they were able to fix their stuff and get on with their day.
Yep. That's several woes. There's a lot of woes this week.
That's not even all of them, but that's the ones we got for you.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. That was a lot of stuff to digest. You guys, save your tires. We're going to come back for some Penny for Your Thoughts questions. Penny Stackers of the Week right after this.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey guys, welcome back. Time for some Penny Stacker of the Week and some Penny for Your Thoughts. And then we're just going to land this plane and bring her on home. So there was no clear Penny Stacker this week. There was plenty that came up. A lot of Quarter of the Joy merch. A lot of support there at the fan stage on Saturday out of Bristol. I think that my Penny Stackers are those guys at Goodyear mounting those tires up.
Amen. I saw you had like some Did you have like a camera and like glasses?
Yeah.
And I saw like, you were signing autographs, and yeah. People were giving you pennies and stuff.
One fella gave me his first tour challenge coin to Iraq. That was pretty cool. That got hung up on the board today, bottom right. Starting to collect some decent challenge coins, so shout out. Anybody wants to give me one, thank you. So I think that guy would be a penny stacker. Some guy sung a hot dog song that he won the sixth grade talent show 25 years ago. That was interesting. He
sung it?
Yeah, it was.
Out of nowhere? Like, hey, I got a song for you.
No, somehow we got talking. No, his name was Hot. I asked, hey, buddy, how you want me to put a name on this thing? Yeah, Hot Dog. I said, I'm not even going to ask you how you came up with the name Hot Dog. Well, I sung a song called Hot Dog.
You didn't have to ask, I guess.
Yeah, my middle school talent show. I said, well, let's hear it. My man just let her rip.
Was it good?
It was a good melody. Yeah. It was. We gave him a round of applause at the end. Interesting fella. Interesting song. Never heard the Hot Dog song before. Give that guy a penny stacker of the week. Honorable mention. What else we got? Yeah, I would say the Goodyear guys take the cake. Also, we have signed ourselves a development driver for Stacking Pennies. Did you see Everett Larson?
Yeah, that's cool.
Gave him a fire suit. Dialed in. My man's getting bigger. He's getting some muscles. He's starting to drive some UMP modified. So I had to get him dialed in with a fire
suit. Asphalt or dirt?
Dirt.
Love that.
Gave him the WR1 rig a while back. I was over iRacing, so I figured he would be using it. His mom says she can't get him off of it. So we got him dialed in with a Stacking Pennies fire suit, too.
Awesome.
Go follow him at Everett Larson, too.
We had a lot of penny stackers send over some Penny for Your Thoughts
on Instagram, too. It was, you know, you guys are a little lazy on X, not going to lie, but Instagram popped off this week. Whether it was the Arctic Ice Cold Trivia, wherever we put it out, you guys fired over some good ones. First off, some guy, Kyle Nogle 15, asked, what is Corey's connection to Lake Minnetonka? And it's solely from the reference in the Chappelle Show. That was it. I don't even know where Lake Minnetonka's at. I'm assuming it's in Minnesota.
Amy could tell us, but.
Where's it at, Amy? Okay.
Minnesota.
Look at me. Geography major.
Skull Vikings.
So yeah, it was referenced once on Chappelle's Show, and it makes me laugh. So that's why I say it.
I'll just fire off a couple. Give me some quick
hitters. Yep.
Do you prefer dirt or concrete, Bristol?
Oh, concrete 7 days a week.
Is there a line you prefer to run?
Preferably the bottom.
Ooh, here's a good one. This one's gonna be a quick one. Mm. Not gonna be a quick one. What can drivers do to save their stuff in a race like today, or is it just luck?
There's nothing luck about it. There are a lot of things you can do. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, you can get it floated in an entry a little bit easier, have it land and not shear the right front, not ask too much lateral grip out of your right rear. A lot of it's set up, but the other percentage of it is certainly some driver inputs, because you know when you're really asking a lot out of your right front, you're asking a lot out of your right sides. And we saw the guys that are a bit better managing with a bit better compliant setup were able to make their way towards the front the other race.
Yep. Second follow-up to that, what does it feel like when your tires are totally worn out, especially at BMS?
It was bizarre. It was like you had a flat, but the car platform was the same, and you just, our right fronts were going early in the run. Then when we finally got the car balanced a bit better, the right rear tires would start to go first, and they would be a bit chunky. Like, you would feel the vibration of the rubbers coming apart. Like, so you can feel the right front starting to go. So you had to start being easy on that. And then you would start feeling the right rear get a little vibration in it. And then once the vibration stopped, that's when you're on canvas, right? So then you were starting to really slide it in the corner, and you were just waiting. I think we were able to run probably 8 or 9 laps when the right rear tire was literally just on canvas.
Wow. The fact that you can run that many laps just on canvas.
Well, I say you're going pace car speed, right? I feel like I was.
Yeah, but still.
1950s, 20-second laps, 4 seconds off the pace. Whatever canvas Goodyear's using, it's got some longevity, some pretty durability.
Sure. You might want to look at them for your street car needs.
Goodyear Eagles, man. They'll run flats, run for a while.
Workout-wise, how does a driver work out during a race?
During a race week.
During a race week,
It depends. P- depends if your body's sore. Depends on if you're feeling good, then you can get after it a little bit. Everybody's a little bit different. Some guys ride mountain bikes. Some guys ride road bikes. Some guys just like to run for like 20 miles, like Ricky Stenhouse.
You've been on the Josh Wise program.
Been on the Josh Wise program. Good. They don't really lean too much into like weight lifting or training. It's a bit more mental clarity and some recovery things like that.
You guys go sit in a field and like meditate together?
They have done that.
Seriously?
Yeah. I like to do that stuff alone, myself. But hey, climb teach their own. I do like to climb mountains. I think there's a place for both of it, right? Having a clear mind to where you can be present and be locked into the tire and all that. I think there's some stuff to it. But for me, I do some sort of a CrossFit version and tailor it back to when my body's a bit tired. And also understand it's a marathon, not a race. 36, 38 weekends out of the year, your body can get pretty worn down if you just keep hammering it.
Yeah.
So recovery is also important.
Couple quick ones on the picker side. How does the 12 team feel about defending their championship? Good, but we don't like running 16th at Bristol. Would Skip want to be a pit reporter when he retires? I'm working on it.
We'll I can tell.
I got a, some would say I have a face for radio.
But I would agree with that.
Not everybody that watched the race this weekend, they now know that I'm the most handsome host to Stacking Pennies. Last one from our friend William. He said, I thought this one was interesting, and we always love to sprinkle in some fun ones. He asked me yesterday at your bus. He said, this is my penny for your thoughts question. I said, you got to add us. He said, I don't know how to do that. I'm just going to ask it.
In person.
He said, have you ever had a change my tires, Days of Thunder moment where you just wanted to get back out there after the race while someone was celebrating?
Not in the Cup Series. Nothing really stands out to me when to answer that question, because normally after a Cup race, I'm just like, all right, like, get me out of here as fast as possible.
I've had one as a picker guy.
Have you?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was Regan Smith. This is the worst one I ever had, and it's so dumb. Regan Smith at Mid-Ohio. He rooted Alex Tagliani out of the way, and we were with the 22 Xfinity car, and I was, like, ready to fight. I was, like, blew it junkyard. Like, let's go, because they would set pit road up, like, right by our pit stall. Like, they would pull it out on a trailer. Did you ever go? You never went to Mid-Ohio, did you?
I did a spotter once.
And I was like, should we go? Let's go fight. Like, let's go fight these
guys. Might as well, yeah.
Because I don't know what it was. It was something about the 17 that year. Like, they were super strong, and they were just, like, kind of a thorn in our side, and that was, like, a tipping point. Because Tagliani was so cool, and we just wanted to win with them. And just to get rooted like that was, like,
Iron Man, Tony Stark, is that the guy with the?
Yeah, with the he was goatee? Cool, dude. He was fun, but that was the one time where I was like, "Just go back out there and wreck him." But that's it.
Yeah, I don't see red. I realize that doesn't really it doesn't lead to productive things.
You know, I've been to the racetrack with you before.
Oh, lately,
lately.
I used to be.
Well, you're a competitor. It's like.
I just get, like, inside, I'm just like,
look, when you're racing for wins and you're running up front, you're having good days and someone takes it away from you, that comes right back out.
That's true. No doubt. Which leads us to the beef of the week.
Beef.
There was, and like I say, Stan the man, and he's always lurking. If there's some beef cooking, Stan can smell it from a mile away.
The security guard.
Security guard from NASCAR.
He's in another beef here.
Right here. The Nick Sanchez, Stuart Friesen scuffle. Here he is off to the side, left side frame off. He knows. He can smell it.
Friesen's mad.
Friesen's big mad.
Whoa, look at that face, dude.
He made that. And there's Stan right there coming in. He's like, yo, break it up.
You're all done.
Hey, I'm telling you, he can smell beef cooking from a mile away. He was in the Noah Gragson, Ross Chastain. No beef is getting cooked without Stan being there.
Sanchez really knows how to piss off 40-year-olds, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. He's pretty good at that. Got a big run coming off the top of the 52. Tough spot to put yourself in. Ends his night. Ends the 52's night as well.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
tough.
And Stewart went down there and be like, man, if you just give us – if you let me have it, you can go get it in the next corner. So that's his point of view.
Well, it looked like he went down there to say that, right? And then
Well, Nick felt like he was there. You know, it depends on what trailer you're standing on, who was right and who was wrong. If the two rolls out there, easy to say here on Monday morning quarterbacking, but if he rolls out, gives the 52 the lane, they both can live to fight another day, then they both run, you know, in the top eight.
To that point, though, like if the 52, it looked like the 52 kind of lazily like felt him and then just like, but it's hard to tell.
That's what happens. If you don't cover that lane, then it gets filled. And then anytime there's a soft block or like indecisive lane choice is usually when some feelings get ruffled, which leads us to the 42 and the 22 on Sunday.
But back to this real quick.
Why?
Because it looked like Stewart, like you said, went down there just to say like, hey man, don't do that. And then it looked like Nick was a freaking smartass, and that's why he got grabbed. Because I think it might be the same thing that happened to him and Matt Kraft in the Talladega. I think it's better to give a mad dog a crust of bread than a kick in the ass. And it looked like he gave him a kick in the ass. Like, I don't know if he called him old or something, but that's the second time in a row an old guy's been down there trying to fight him. So I don't know if they're trying to give him advice and he's a smartass about it, and then that's why he gets beat up. But it's not a good look. Big Nick Sanchez fan.
Hey, he's fiery.
He's fast, but I don't know. All right.
He's got a lot of old guys don't like him. I don't know. Nonetheless, fast forward Sunday, 22 inside the left rear of the 42. The 42 kind of gets hung. You know, everybody's racing 2x2. The 42 is like halfway kind of blocking. Like, I can't quite get to the bottom. 22 sticks his right front fender in there. That's just Bristol. There's really no beef about that. I don't think the 42 can be mad about that. Didn't they talk about it, I heard?
That's what I would say. It was like one of those things they talked about where Joey's like, hey, yeah,
I did the same thing to Joey.
We talked about it, but
during the day.
Remember me?
Yeah.
I'm not going to wreck you. I'm going to rattle your cage a little bit.
I literally did the exact same thing to Joey. You kind of get in there and get off the bottom, and then if the guy can fill it, you're trying to shut it off at the same time. So if he's in there, he's in there.
That's what's nice about the next gen cars. You can do that without swapping ends. Like, I think if you do that in a truck, the way that the quarter panels are in line up, you're wrecking each other.
Yeah. So. Or the old school cup cars, you just wedge somebody up and back them in the fence.
Yeah. Speaking of talking to each other in a week, I heard Eric Jones
I heard a little bit about that.
He wasn't happy with Briscoe, so he texted him, but Briscoe's old number.
Did he let it like ruminate? Like did he, since he didn't hear anything back, like.
I don't really have any ever, like, I've never had any big dealings with Eric Jones, but I just get mad at him because he wrecked you a couple times, so that's just part of me being.
But we squashed it. We had our 12 questions on The Athletic, and, you know.
Together?
No. One of the questions is, who would you not want to get stuck in the elevator with? And I said Eric Jones. And he was the next 12 questions. And when he asked that question, he said he said Chase Briscoe. I don't know. But he said his original answer was going to be me. Then he's like, nah, maybe not. But then he told him a story. And we've raced each other hard for, you know, 15th to 22nd for the last 3 years, and you're never going to run into each other. And that's that. Hmm. You know, I don't know.
Well, now so I'm mad at him for you, and now you guys are good, and I'm.
I wouldn't say that we're good. We're not going to be breaking bread, but. I don't think that we're going to be riding an elevator together either.
All right, I'm still on your side.
Thanks.
I'll ride the elevator for you.
Appreciate that. And I know you guys are on our side too because you keep tuning in, whether it's on YouTube, which we go recommend that you go watch that because that's where all the good video clips and NASCAR pulls from you each and every week. But if you can't get on YouTube, then you listen to it on SiriusXM Channel 90 or just Apple or Spotify or wherever you find your podcast because we're all over the place. If you want us, you can go find us. And you can even find us on social media at @_stackandpennies. All the clips coming right to you and that ice cold Arctic trivia so you can win some sort of Arctic thing each and every week. I'm tapped out, guys. My tires are just blown off. I need to come down for 4 more. Going to Dakota next week. Looking forward to it. Finished 11th there last year. Try to go back that up and rebound. Hasn't been a great couple weeks for the 17. We're going to go bounce back, have some pace, have some fun. Down in Austin, get a little weird, and just keep stacking pennies. That's all I got.
That's it.
Y'all have a great week. Goodbye.